Jema. Words and time always fall short when we have to speak of the infinite. But we can start with a small image, a story, a little line from Savitri which Vladimir read this morning. On Shiva's breast, the dance is going on. So what is the dance and what is the breast of Shiva? Yesterday we were having this question about dharma and karma. Very simply, to put it very simply, karma is all the movement that is going out, proceeding outward, all the energy of motion, thought, feelings, will, impulsion. But dharma is the dhuri, the basis on which this unfolding is taking place. Otherwise, it will completely collapse. That's why action, which is in tune with dharma, is the action which leads us towards the true goal. And action which starts deviating and deflected from the dharma leads to dharma siglani, degeneration, fall, etc., etc. So dharma is the background and karma is the outward going motion. So what really is this dharma? This is the this background is important for what, for the subject. So dharma is first the stable basis of truth. It is the last unsurpassable barrier against all evil. That's why how much ever evil may try, there is a point where either it recoils back or else it melts and dissolves. And for each of these statements, I have a little story up my sleeve which I am resisting. So it can go on only up to a point. So that's the foundation of truth which the Vedic Rishi spoke of. They were in search of it. So that is the first aspect, Sanatan Dharma, the basis of truth. But then this truth is not just a kind of barrier which is lying. It unfolds in time. So there is the second aspect of dharma, which is the law of truth. So in this unfolding, it has to unfold. All manifestation is an unfolding of this truth. And as it unfolds, the power that goes forth, pragya, prashrato, purano, out of this bedrock of truth, shakti, the divine shakti, builds forms after forms to manifest this great, tremendous truth. And as it manifests, it also gets locked in the form, limits itself within the form. The first forms, which are closest to the original truth, are very plastic. The form of the gods is very plastic. It's not like the way our mind fixes their forms. They have different forms. That's why 10 hands and 8 hands and 1,000 hands, and they are plastic forms. But problem of plastic forms is they are not forms which can remain very stable. So that's the whole story of the Panch Tattva. Again, I'll not go into it. But as she moves further and further in the dance, in each of the forms she wants her lot to be established. Like she's building mansions after mansions. In each one she's inviting the lot. In each one the dance must take place. And as she moves further and further, there is a veiling between her and the lot. And now conceive a dance where the beloved and the lover are dancing. And they're dancing perfectly tuned to their steps. And suddenly, the lover is no longer able to find the beloved. Now what is going to happen in the dance? You will continue by the momentum in the same way. But you will also develop another something, an anguish. Where is my partner? Where is my partner? So the dance begins to become more and more reckless. She is in search of the partner, but also there is this momentum from the beginning. That's the beauty of Sri Krishna suddenly vanishing while the dance with Gop and Gopi is going on. It's a perfect description of. And then the dance ultimately takes place on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but this time the consort is not Gop, Gopi, but Kali. So as she moves further and further, the dance begins to become more and more turbulent, reckless, violent wills hurled upon against each other. And if you look closely, ultimately, each one is seeking for the divine. Doesn't use that word. We are talking yesterday about AI. What is AI? Man's search for omniscient, omnipotent something. And in the process, it has created a mega monster, because what falsehood does, it imitates the Godhead it denies. So there is a grand imitation of something which looks like God, looks like, is not. It has neither the heart of love nor the ananda. Ananda is the impulsion in creation. But it has apparently the omniscience, not obviously not omniscience, somebody is feeling, but the feeling, so powerful, such a wonderful tool. So this is how it erects. So everywhere, even the asura is trying to erect something of that image as it moves further and further, asuric natures, rakshasic nature. But because of this eternal law, Sanatan Dharma in its unfolding, it keeps course correcting. There is an inbuilt mechanism within nature which tends to do a course correction. At micro level, it does it through vibhutis which spring up here and there. Also within the heart of man, that's the seat of dharma. But at macro level, when there is a great crisis and crossover has to take place, then that Sanatan Dharma manifests in the form of a being, a person. And this person then leads creation which has gone into disarray. That's why it's very interesting. The Gita speaks of dharma siglani. It is like the law is being misused. That power is being misused. That knowledge is being misused. Dharma siglani, because ultimately everything comes from that. And therefore the avatar comes, stands at the gates of creation to lead it back or correct it. This leading it back is not the best expression. Or does the course correction so that it can unfold. And why this happens? Because by its very nature, this unfolding is literally infinite in nature. You know, yesterday we were speaking, for everybody there is a dharma. Dharma of student life, dharma of wife, dharma of husband, dharma of this, that. And sometimes it can go to dharma of the plant, dharma of the tiger. It is the dharma of the tiger to eat. You can't blame him for that. This dharma, which is unfolding itself in infinite ways, through infinite freedom apparently, because it has to allow. You can't have a standard for it. This dharma is not like a rule book. All who have tried to reduce the divine law into a rule book of black and white have themselves become the greatest transgressors of the dharma, because it cannot be like that. And yet the human mind and its tendency is always to put things into black and white, with no shades of grey. Fixed ways, rigid rules. Thus said the mother, thus said Sri Ramakrishna, thus said Sri Aurobindo. Perfect. But if we take it that this is the only thing, only way, you have to allow. Unfolding is beautiful. Somebody asked today a question to me that I am attracted to Christ and but I also want to go to Krishna. So he said, what is the difference between Christ and Krishna? Christ is divine love sacrificing itself in matter to redeem it. Krishna is divine love attracting ourselves towards him. The same divine love. If you see it that way, there is no antagonism. But the antagonism starts when the mind crystallizes things. This is the nature of the mind. Mother speaks of the mental inconscient. And so creation begins to deviate. And when it deviates to an extreme, there is an evolutionary crisis. All that we were hearing yesterday and we keep hearing all over, the deadly scenario and, scenario one, scenario two. I was just, sorry, I didn't say, but I have another scenario in mind which I'll talk about. And there's the most logical, common sense, natural scenario. What is that scenario? When there was a crisis in plant life. Why there was a crisis? Too many trees, everything is breathing carbon dioxide. So carbon dioxide is diminishing upon earth. They are discussing. Trees talk to themselves. By the way, they talk to us also. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? There is no avatar to come that time. But magic happens. What is the magic? Out of the tree evolves the animal life. Initially anaerobic, because old nature dies hard. And then the animal life evolves along a very different line. The fundamental change, it takes oxygen and releases carbon dioxide. So there is a wonderful balance now between the tree life and the animal life. This is nature's solution. Shobindra speaks of it in The Life Divine. That once there was a conference of apes in the United Nations of Apes, UNA, before UNO came into existence. And they were discussing the problems of the animal world. Big problem, you know. Whose territory will be which one? Who will be assigned the best trees? Etc. All chaos is going on. This is the life divine. Huh? People think it is all serious stuff. Look. So then, I mean, I'm adding my own little masala to it. So they are discussing, we should do this, we should do that. And then one Indian monkey says, sir, can I? Huh? Wow, what are you going to say? You are going to come up with something fantastic. He says, sir, what to do? In our literature, there is a story about apes evolving into humans. Ramayana. Arey, don't speak such things. There is an ape problem. Apes have to solve it. Apes must do it the ape way. Okay? Do it the ape way. And this little ape walks the way of Rama. And we see two evolutionary lines part. Vali, who believes in apehood's might is the right. And Sugriv, who makes friends with Rama, the divine, and he evolves. This is the real story, by the way, that happened in Africa. Two lines of apes which parted. The best one didn't actually survive it. It collapsed because it believed that it can do it all. Whereas the little less Sugriv, little less, it went out in search and it evolved. This is how it is. So today we stand at the crossroads when there are these two layers of humanity. One which believes in the all-sufficiency of the mind and the intellect. And is trying all kinds of mental ways. Adjustment, readjustment, government systems. Fakes and deep fakes and deep states and whatever. It's trying its best. But quietly, there is a group of humanity which has begun to move out of this zone. And it is found everywhere. In that remote corner in Pondicherry. In this Hotel Marriott in Greenville. We are not here to, you know, evolve how to manage AI. We know its limitations and the dangers and the possibilities, whatever. But we are here to, because we believe there is another solution. And that solution, the mother speaks of as the spiritual evolution. Not only they speak about it, they say this is the hour. Because yada yada hi dharma siglani. Dharma of the mind is to discover, find the truth. But it has changed into, I know the truth. I don't need to find anything. Dharma siglani at every level. So it has begun, a new journey has begun, unseen. Where is it happening? It's happening in the heart. That's the seat of the dharma. How does dharma declare itself? In the heart it changes something. Children begin to aspire. They begin to, we see in US and India, different ways this urge came up. We want no education. The urge, imagine, whatever way it takes place. And the other side, aaj chal ke tujhe main leke chalun ek aise gagan ke tale, aansu bhi na ho, jahan gham bhi na ho, bas pyar hi pyar pale. Come, we'll go together. Where? To a land where grief is not, nor tears, nor suffering. Only love and the unfolding of love. This angst we see in the 60s is an evolutionary angst. And slowly it is catching up. And the more it grows, the more we'll see. So the solution of AI is HI evolving towards DI. human intelligence moving towards divine intelligence. Of course, there will be people who will fight AI. It's okay, because divine operates at several levels. Nothing, everywhere, everybody has their own place, their dharma. But for those who want to look for a permanent solution, because if man remains what he is, a creature of ego and desire, he will mess up. If not today, if not AI, he'll create something else tomorrow. Because that's how it is going to be. So the real solution is change of man and evolution of man. And Shivinder said this so beautifully in The Life Divine. It is in the last chapter, The Divine Life. He says, at present we are facing an evolutionary crisis where the technological advancement had, it looks like he's talking today. The technological advancement has created a superstructure of civilization where man has become very small. Looks like he's seeing today, as if he's saying, look here, I know. Many of Sri Aurobindo's writings, most of it are as if he has foreseen that point of crisis and he's writing as of today. So many of them I have read several times and shared. And then he says, there is a choice within this crisis, concealed within this is a choice of his destiny. And based on that choice, we either move toward the next evolution, next Sugriv with holding the hand of Ram through the battle of Lanka, it evolves towards a human type. Or it collapses under its own weight. Asuras, the problem of Asura is they implode under their own weight. It catches the truth of Aham Brahmasmi in the wrong way. And therefore it enlarges like a bubble. And after a point it collapses. So that's one part of the story. And let's not engage. So that we should be more engaging about next. Evolution next. It's a very fascinating subject. The most happening thing happening in every house it is happening. It's happening in different ways. Strange ways. And this is what is important for us. And in this process, evolution next, which means now the Sanatana Dharma is unfolding itself in a new way, new unfolding. The first step for all of us, because yes, as rightly I was reminded by Lakshman Bhai that, you know, body has to be mentioned. Yes, very much, because it's very interesting, this human body, this form. See, evolution has thrown up a form, the one form in which the consciousness can unite with the highest. It's so amazing. Random mutation leading to a form in which consciousness can begin to come out of its own entrapments and evolve towards the highest. It is created. This is the form, the human body. That's why it is said in the literature that, you know, the human body is so important. It's one gets the human body after God knows. It's a special blessing to have a human body, because in this form we can remember the Lord and become one with the Lord. Is that spiritual evolution? Well, individual if we like, but we don't use the word spiritual evolution for that, because it's an individual phenomena. Saint, sage, seer, they are like glimpses nature has thrown up, that here is some possibility, here is something you can become. But we have one saint, two saints here and there, but most of us are followers, sitting at their feet, trusting their words. But there is no evolution into that. Some experiences and glimpses. But evolution by its nature is collective. So that means this new unfolding, spiritual evolution, this collective evolution is only possible if the body also undergoes a transmutation. It's not possible otherwise. Otherwise they will be only in consciousness. We will grow into super conscious. The body will be like a fragile vase which cannot hold it. It will break. So again the same old story. Escaping into the inane or the absolute or the infinite, eternal, call by whatever name. But the body. And Vedantics who believe in the inner evolution, they say this. Body's purpose is over because you can unite with the supreme, and that's the end of the story. But evolution implies manifestation, a new unfolding. How? If the body, the instrument is not ready. It's something like if I learn the best music from whom? From Shiva himself. There's a very interest in India. Everything ultimately goes to some godhead or the other, like dance, Kathak. If you go into the story of Kathak, how did Kathak come into being? Ultimately, you go back to Shiva. Ganga's origin, go back to Shiva, Vishnu, Brahma, all three. Again, resisting all the stories inside, stay inside. Otherwise, time will run out. So all this unfolding, this going to the divine origin. We have learnt music from Shiva, dance from Shiva. But when we try to reproduce it, we do a caricature. Tandav. Boy, it's a mockery. If somebody has ever glimpsed even for a moment what that tandav is, and then you do it very nice, people come to watch. And you cannot, because the human body is not capable. Again, Shri Krishna's Ras in Vrindavan. Maharas. Maharas is in that Golok. But Vrindavan, that's why if you go to Vrindavan, the place where Ras Leela took place, that place is Nidhivan. Those who have gone, it is nothing but bushes. You feel sad. You feel sad, actually. I felt, oh, this is where he danced. But then I understood, Shri Krishna, look here, world is not ready. Don't you know? So you see those bushes. And nobody can watch it. It is said, as the story goes, that at night, if somebody, night the Ras takes place. There was a time when during the Ras, nobody was allowed. It's a very interesting story. This I must mention. So if you see that Ras, you will go mad. It seems somebody tried it at night, hiding, entering inside and couldn't communicate anything. But even in the Bhagavad, there is a story that only women could go and experience this Ras. Both women, women. Shobindra says in one of his aphorisms, it is only when I knew that God, when I knew that God is a woman, then I learned something from far off about God. But it is only when I became a woman that I knew God utterly. So Arjun tells once Krishna, I have heard about this dance. Huh? I am your special friend. Why don't you take me along at least once? Shri Krishna says, you are very flirtatious. I can't let you in just like that. There must be some way. Okay, are you ready to become a woman? Arjun had this capacity. He had become a woman once. He had many feminine elements in his nature. Beautiful combination. So he says, okay, what do I have to do? So there is a Yamuna, he has to take a bath at a certain time. When he comes out, he is a woman. So he becomes a woman and enters. And then he sees that Ras. So all these stories point out to this fact that that's what the divine wants to happen here, the eternal Ras. But when we try to create something of that in an untransformed consciousness, then what do we have? Sorry, Garbaras, which is okay. But that has nothing to do with Ras. It is an attempt. Just like a religion is an attempt to catch hold of that infinite. What it becomes? A caricature. An imitation. And sometimes a very bad imitation. Because you cannot. And sometimes when you imitate, it is dangerous. Because people, instead of going toward the true thing, may go toward something which is readily available. Write your name in the book of the elite. You believe in this? Fine, you are through. That's dangerous. So religion, that's how, you know. So it is an imitation. But this time, that's why evolution means the body, mind, heart, life, everything has to be ready for this play of the divine. How does it get ready? So that's where we see that this effort to integrate, to find this base, stable base, Sanatana Dharma, Esha Dharma Sanatana, and to bring it forward in our life. There have been so many efforts before we come to Sri Aurobindo. Just to quickly glance at two efforts. One is when the Vedantins went up to find the home of truth. Where is truth? Where is truth? And they entered into vast fields, Satyam, Ritam, Vratam, the law of truth. They aspired Hiranmayena Patrena Satya Syapihita Mukham. Oh, this golden lid which is covering the law of truth, we don't know, manifest. This truth unfolding, law of truth is not a rule book. It cannot be by its nature. Evolution cannot be standardized formula for everyone, everywhere, for all times. That's what religions tried to do, and we know what happened. It's not a set of do's and don'ts. So it went, and then it realized it's so tremendous. It cannot just come. We cannot receive it. The Rishi Yajnavalk prayed, show me that face of truth and its law, Satya Dharmaye. What is that law of truth? What do you, if we were to put it, mother, want? Do you want me to be and do? How do you want? And all my notions are there in the mind. So it remains closed. But aspiration is hurt. The Vedic Rishis went, Swami Vivekananda points, there is, I see it, I glimpse it. If I have to continue that, because Shobindra is very humble, he's a perfect gentleman. So people keep quoting, Swami Vivekananda showed, yes, he went to that point, he sees it. But what is he pointing? Can you open that door? Yes, I will open that door. That's my purpose. The law of truth is the supramental creation. Sanatan Dharma. It is seen through a veil or many veils. Through the veil you can glimpse, oh, there is the king, he's saying something, but I can't understand exactly what he's saying. Like from far off, I see someone making a gesture. And even if I know the person very well, I can't necessarily say what really that gesture means. So the law of truth. So this is one path the Vedantins took. Tantra took another path. It says that law of truth is embedded also in creation. Let me find it there. And there also they found Kundalini Shakti, the divine mother, lying at the base of matter, and they awakened her. Said, come along, show us. And she showed magics and marvels hidden in creation. And they tried to integrate nature and soul. They tried to integrate that. But eventually, walking up and up, up the ladder, ultimately, they too, only up to a point they could synthesize. See, Tantra, if you see, it's of course a subject in its own right. So these were two past attempts. The Vedantic formula was, the effort to create a synthesis was done by Sri Krishna, ultimately. The different lines of Vedanta. And Tantra tried to do it in its own way. Purushayan Prakriti and Ishwarayan Shakti. They were wonderful efforts leading us to a point. They became like bright stars pointing the way, but not the sun. So now this new unfolding, a new synthesis, a new effort, if we like. Savitri begins with line. Through the fall, the crowded tablet of memories of the past were lost in the oblivion that precedes the fall. So the effort begins again. So this time, where are they touching? They are touching where, see, this truth unfolds itself through Sadharma. Shri Krishna speaks about it. Within human nature, that's the closest one can get there, individually. Why? Because Shri Krishna says it's a great discovery. What does he say? I am dwelling in the heart of every creature. That's where the supermind also dwells. So it starts from there. It is accessible. Reaching that home of truth is very difficult, not easy. And even if you reach, you will see from afar. Digging into the base and this awakening, it can completely turn our life topsy-turvy. There are people who have lost their balance. I know of people who have had some spontaneous kundalini awakening, genuine ones, not many who, and they became depressed, they became inordinate impulses, lower impulses. So all that, it is a dangerous process. But heart, where also Sanatana Dharma resides, in the heart. Why? Because Dharma is meant to lead us where? To the Lord, from where everything. That's why the Gita starts with Swadharma. Where does it end? When you have found Krishna, then Sarvadharman Parityaja. Because Dharma's purpose is over. Dharma is not in. It has to lead us to that point where you see the Lord. And then you live according to the divine will. So in this yoga, we start with this place, the seat of dharma. Without discovering it, we may engage in all kinds of karma. Good karma, bad karma. And we may, our ego may feel bloated. Oh, I am doing so much philanthropic work. I am doing so much good for mankind. I am doing this. I am doing that. I am already engaged in karma yoga. The first step of karma yoga, of course, nishkam karma, but the next is to get rid of this doership nature is doing, as beautifully Vladimir was. That's important. As long as that, and this is not something mentally we can do it. When we see nature is the doer, and then the master of the work is the divine. Then what is this so-called you? You are nothing but just a channel or a point or any, whatever we want to call it, created by the divine for his purposes, that's all. So this contact with the divine in the heart is the first step in this yoga. And this is the discovery of the psychic being. Why they start with this? Because one, it is closest and easiest. We don't have to climb beyond the mind. Because mind, when it tries to climb, Shobindu points that out in the Life Divine, if it tries, it ends up with an impersonality. Try thinking of the divine. Infinity. After some time, the mind, as if sleeps in a state of vast impersonality. It cannot go beyond, but it's near impossible. So when we try with the mind, apart from the mazes in which it circles, it gives a lot of talks on God and seminars and conferences or super mind, and it starts believing, I know it, but it's moving in a small little circle. Entering into the depths of matter, practicing that kundalini, of course there is kundalini in Sri Aurobindo, but in a different way. So that's again, it's a very dangerous, it requires a guru all the time to be, these are kundalini yoga, tantra has to be practiced only in the presence of a living master. Because it's too dangerous. You are dealing with Shakti. Even nature we can't handle. Nature, when it moves to extreme, see what happens to us. This divine Shakti lying at the base. So this is easiest, simplest. And this is the first integrating principle. Ego, self cannot integrate. Ego's method is, what is that phrase? Give to the devil what is due unto devil. Doesn't work like that. It will keep us swinging between the two. And at the end, we will be the same spot. So what happens when we discover the psychic being? Does the ego vanish? No, not immediately. It becomes very thin. It becomes like a small little instrumental personality. Ego vanishes only when the all is merged with the Supreme. But at least it's no more resisting. It becomes an instrument. Ego personality. So the first thing is to find the psychic being. The most important discovery. And Sri Aurobindo says, all is or can be dangerous in the yoga except for finding the psychic being. At one place he says, one may luxuriate in vital siddhis. One may have amazing siddhis, physical feats. People can fly in the air, rise above all this. One may have even brilliant illuminations in the mind, but nothing genuine or lasting has been done if the psychic being is not found and if we are not ready to become a child newborn to the Divine Mother. Why? Because ego. If I become child of the Divine Mother, what happens to me? So, this is the challenge. So how do we make this discovery? First step first. The mother says very beautifully, and something we discover. Tell your mind that you cannot judge spiritual things. If you try to do it, you will move. Mind will throw up endless doubts. Like I think the other day I was mentioning. Oh, if God is there, why do things happen this way? If God is there, why there is suffering in the world? Why doesn't he do something? We have this idea of God as a robo. See, that's why this AI has come up. Our idea of God is a robo. You push a button and the robo will do everything for you. He should be our servant. If I want money, he should give like ATM. If I want promotion, he should say, so be it. What a tough job. You know, those who have seen Bruce Almighty will understand. Poor job. Poor God, what a job. If I want a boyfriend or girlfriend, God should immediately provide. Somebody actually went to the ashram and went during prosperity. What do you want? He said, I want a boyfriend. Honest, beautiful. Matlab, the honesty and has to be appreciated. But I'm just saying our relation with God. And when we don't like, no, another one. One more. Yeah. Not I won't change. Look here, the fallacy. Everything in this world should change around me, but I don't want to change. So he said, look here, I don't want to play this boring game. You have turned me into a robot, and I do it in the beginning, like Sri Krishna says, as Arth and Artharthi, he also relates, but true bhakti begins when we shed these lower motives of devotion. So to seek the divine for the sake of the divine, for the joy of the divine, what is bhakti? Bhakti is nothing to do with all this kirtan. These are methods and I am not going into their plus and minus. Bhakti comes from the root bhaj, bhunjita, to take joy in God. See what happens when you take God's name? It gives you joy instant. You don't need reward, etc. of any kind. It is a joy in its own right. People often say mantra or japa of God's name. Very simple. Mantra is meant to lead us to the one from whom mantra has emerged. Once the mantra takes you to the deity, it's over. And japa is God's name. He, where the mantra takes you, it is his name. The name of God is beyond every mantra. And Shivinda says, one line, Nam Jap has a great power in it. Of course, nothing can be seen in isolation that I'll do nothing. But still, it is a tremendous power, just the name of God. Ma, even Shurabindu, something very powerful. And why God takes a name and form? Because when we go within, we need a support. So the support is of form and name. Because they're the only thing we understand. And it has been said that form and name are a snare. So divine uses a smart strategy. He says, okay, I'll assume a form and a name, which will liberate you from all forms and names. Why? Because when you see this form and name, you will lose interest in everything else. In the old egoistic way. Let me add, in Shivindu's yoga, we don't lose interest in the world as Vairagya. That is true. Automatically, there is a story of Surdas. He is a blind saint in Indian, among the Indian pantheon of saints. So once he finds, he has an acute sense, dance of Krishna and Radha has taken place, and as the story goes, he suddenly catches hold of Radha's feet and she runs away, but one of her anklets comes in his hands. So next day, Radhaji comes and says, I want that back. He says, okay, I'll give you if you give me the second one also. Okay. She brings her other feet in front. And as he holds the feet, he says, I'm not going to let you go. And so Krishna quietly tells her, let him hold. And then he is blessed for a moment with the eyes with which he can see. And what does he see? He sees Shri Krishna and Radha. So Radha says, any boon you want, I'm here to give you. He says, take away these eyes. Their purpose is fulfilled. I have seen you. I don't want to see anything else with these eyes. Shubindo's devotee will say, I have seen you. Now let me see the world with your eyes. See what is meant by your eyes? When mother goes and sees Shubindo, what does she write? He, whom we saw yesterday, is here upon earth. She sees in him the embodied divine. How do we see him? oh, he's a Bengali Cambridge or graduated or ICS officer. We see, because we don't, who will give us these eyes? These eyes are here with the soul. That's what is called as Dyumat Sena in Savitri, who is blind. He's a blind king. He's lost his royalty. He's a king, but he's blind. But when we see Sri Aurobindo with mother's eyes, she can give it to us. Then we see who Sri Aurobindo is. Then we see the world the way Sri Aurobindo and the mother would want us to see. And the first thing is to find the soul. So name and form are great help in going inside. Of course, for the psychic being, any name, one, any form, one connects with as the divine. Because the divine knows himself in the heart of the creature. He knows he's seeking me. It's okay. He's not tied to formulas. Any form that reminds one of the divine. Of course, in this yoga, it's very natural for us to have the image of the form of the mother and Sri Aurobindo in the heart. Why did they come within the limits of the senses? Senses and the mind cannot see the divine, which is so logical. Yan mansana manute yena hurmano matang tadeva brahmantvam vidhi nedam yadi demupasate. If the mind could understand the divine, if the senses could perceive the divine, then by its nature, divine will be something inferior, but that is the origin. So, he comes within the limits of our senses. And we think he is like us. He becomes like us. That's what avatar is about. So when he becomes like us and we meditate upon that form, that name, it begins to liberate us. We may not understand its power till we really practice it. We have this story in the Ramayana that Rama's name is written and the stones are floating. So Rama says, let me also try this trick. He writes his name and it plops, goes in the sea. So Hanuman is watching it. He says, it's only natural. When they write your name, it floats. But if you leave from your hand, it is bound to drown. And these are not sentiments. People, Mother says in one of her prayers, it's an ignorance to call these things sentiments. Somebody was telling me that when I go near Mother's picture, offering a flower, I feel a deep surge of emotions. And then people say, it's sentiment, is it true or not true? So I asked him, when you meet a friend, do you feel a surge of emotion? I said, yes. Shall I cancel and invalidate your emotion? No. I said, that emotion is valid, this is invalid, simply because objectively you can't see. You can't see because that's beyond the limit of the senses, but the contact is made. You feel that you have met your bestest of friends. Forever, so many people, they have come up with this experience going to Samadhi and saying, I felt I have found home. Somebody in terminal stages of cancer. And described beautifully in book 2, canto 14 of Savitri. Long lost home. This is the feeling everyone has. Many people have. I have come back. I have come home. Homecoming. And this is described in different scriptures in its own way. Sheep, carrying the sheep which is lost back to home. Carrying the cow which is lost back to home. The shepherd. So this is a way. So when we take the name of the Divine Mother, Sri Aurobindo and the Divine Mother, and with the power of the name and their form, meditate upon them. Where they are closest. We can meditate anywhere. But this is the seat of the self. And it's again, it doesn't require any big philosophical analysis. Whenever somebody asks us, well, who are you? Can you introduce yourself? If we have to use a gesture, we say, I am so-and-so. I don't say, I am Mr. So-and-so. We'll say, yes, you need a doctor in, psychiatrist. I am so-and-so. Nobody hits the belly and says, I am so-and-so. Nobody raises the hand and says, I am so-and-so. I is here. Is spontaneous. Intuitively, we know that the divine is in the heart. And so, we focus on the divine presence in the heart, taking the help of the name and form of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. How long? Don't turn it into a technique. We We are going to meet the dearest of friend, the beloved. Are we going to count the steps? Imagine. It's sadhana is a mad. Shri Krishna says in the Gita, it is not done by a despondent heart. It is not a technique. He will say, okay, you are busy. Imagine somebody comes and meets you and you open the door because you have been and say, you know how much I had to travel to meet you. You say, I'm sorry. You took all the trouble. I'm so sorry, not my fault. Anyway, sit, have a cup of tea, relax. We are going to meet the beloved whom we are seeing in trying to find in every face. Our eternal friend, the master of man and his infinite lover, he is close to our hearts. Had we vision to see, we are lost. Why we don't see him? We are lost in the pride and the pomp of our passions. Sometimes so heart-rending to see even the gurus, some of the gurus, 25, 30 retinue, whereas Sri Aurobindo quietly, even to switch on the fan, he is struggling and Champaklal says, I'll do it. Oh, you can do it. He does it and says, oh, that simple. Letter has to be posted. Read 12 years with Sri Aurobindo. And he says, I suppose this has to be posted. And Nirodha describes 100 hungry hands would grab at the letter. So he says that, thou who disdainest not the worm to be, nor even the clod, therefore we know by that humility that thou art God. So we see that description, the master of man and his infinite lover. He is close to our hearts. Had we vision to see, we are lost in the pride and the pomp of our passions. We are bound by our thoughts where we hold ourselves free. This is another very fantastic thing. Free speech and free thought. No, we should have it. But where is that freedom? Can there ever be free speech and free thought if I am a slave to my desires, passions, ambitions and 101 things? Again, another illusion that we create. I must first be free. A free person has courage to speak the truth. He's not afraid. The sign of a free person. So many. Look at Sri Aurobindo, look at Sri Krishna. He has the courage to speak the truth. To Duryodhan. Duryodhan, your end is near. Oh, I'll catch him. Try, catch me if you can. Original. Catch me if you can. That courage comes when you automatically spawn. Then you have freedom to speak. Doesn't come without true courage. True courage is something where that bedrock of truth one has touched. Then one has the courage. Otherwise one is always trying to play this way or that way. So that's where he is close. We are lost in the pride and he is everywhere in everything. Then this discovery. So that way we are seeking our beloved. It's a joyous thing, happy thing. Bhakti is when we take joy in the divine. It's not a technique. It's like almost there is some book also, I believe, I don't know, Love Guru, how to fall in love and how to love somebody. Love is not something to be taught. Somebody will have a degree in graduation in how to love. Love is something in the heart. It's a civilizational disease that we lack this vitamin L, which is the source of lack of joy and all other ways we are trying to get it. Why are we lacking it? Because we have developed in one branch this love in the heart. So we have to take joy. Then it's not how many times I was sitting. Was I sitting in correct posture? Was I doing my hands correctly? Was my breath all right? Should I concentrate here or a bit to the left or a bit to the down, not a bit to the up? Shubhinda says anywhere in the chest. Automatically concentration will go there. When we turn it into the technique, then we forget the one for whom we are seeking. And then comes what is known as bhava samadhi. All emotions are stilled and centered around that one presence. And this is not something we do when we are sitting quietly. All the time, it's like a person who is mad in love at 16, 17, sweet 16. Everywhere he is searching, looking at the cell phone. There were no cell phone in those days. Huh? Did I get a message? And sometimes you end up taking the name of somebody you love in front of somebody else. It creates a mess. Why? Because you can't help it. It's uppermost all the time in your consciousness. And you end up taking the name and suddenly, you know, you're caught unawares. But those who have gone into it, they enter these states. Maito piya se naina milaye aire, gadnari gavari kahe so kahe. I have gone and seen my beloved. I have slept with him. Let the world call me that I am a rustic, I am an idiot, I am a foolish girl. That's how the gop and gopi, they ran. And Shubhendu says, they were special manifestations who came to show to the world what bhakti is, to rush to the divine. So when we hear that, when mother will call me, no. When you love somebody, you don't wait for the call. Do we wait for our lover to send us a call, please come? If the person sends a call, please come, ego may get flattered. But when we love, we just rush. We don't wait. So that's how love begins to emerge. Love for the divine. This is the catalyst for the change. Love, what does it do? Mother says it acts like a leaven on the bread. So what does the leaven do? It doesn't destroy. It just makes it, you know, it swells, it becomes tasty and everything. So see, love is like that. It acts as a leaven on the bread, in the bread. So this begins to make us full on every side when everything begins to seek the divine. It automatically brings rectitude, the rectitude that comes through the psychic discovery. So while eating, walking, every time, this remembrance of the divine inside, this concentration of the divine inside, and it automatically begins to bring a change, which is the first change, the psychic transformation. And that change is that in all things we begin to feel the touch of God. All discloses the divine beloved. And while we move inside, since we jumped across like Hanuman, this journey is with its own perils and dangers. It's not so easy. The old forces don't give way. The physical, when we read in Savitri, Finding of the Soul, we see that first the physical consciousness will say, ah, no, life is okay. Comfort zones, all this psychic being, divine, who knows. Okay, what's there for dinner today? And that's how the psychic, the physical, it doesn't allow us. Or when we sit, it suddenly all the aches and pains of the world become manifest. The knees are aching and the, you know, this is aching, that is aching. When Charuchandra Dutt was asked by Sri Aurobindo, have you met the mother? He said, no. Go and meet her. So he says, but I have got back pain, so I cannot bend and meet her. So what? Stand a few steps below and then you can touch her feet. Lack of humility. So all kinds of things come up. Suddenly all the old pains get revived. And we rush to the doctor and he makes a house of his own naturally, you know. Doctors are good people. Sorry. they don't know. Ignorant goodwill. Okay. And then the vital comes in. It starts giving a flurry of experience. Oh, I had this vision. That's why the rational, one has to always keep the reason steady. One may have an experience. Ah, I have seen, I have found. One has to keep moving on, not to stop. It can give suggestions, may come. Oh, you are an avatar. You are a chosen one. You are a great vibhuti. You are a great instrument. You are great, great, great. That time we should say, glory to thee, O Lord. All greatness belongs to God. Humility is our safeguard. Sincerity is the safeguard. All this comes. Vital will do this. It will start creating its own empire sometimes. Its own set of followers. We should be very careful, conscious. So this is how the vital will try to deceive, and it can be very dangerous. Shubhendu speaks of the intermediate zone in which Once one is caught, it's not easy to escape. Their death walks wearing the robe of deathless life. Death walks wearing that robe. And truth does the works of falsehood with bandaged eyes. So that's why the name of the Lord is so important. The presence is so important because it rescues us. That's why Shobindu says, start with surrender. Then the Kurukshetra will be there still. But you have the protection. Because there are many forces of which we have no idea living in this outer world. There are tremendous forces which can deceive. Human consciousness is nothing before them. We are nothing but puppets. So then comes the mind where beautifully register your name in the book of the elite. You believe, therefore you are true. And you have to not stop there. No half attitudes. And that's when mind says, only this way, my way, this way. And then finally, as we see, Savitri presses on. So this has to become, Mother says, like pearl of the great prize that you get only if you dive deep. First time when I picked up a pearl necklace for somebody as a gift, I got it for 600 rupees. I said, is it so cheap, so nice? And I very gladly gifted the pearl necklace. Okay. Thankfully, nobody knew what the real price of pearl is. Later on, I learned the price of pearl that you get from below. It can go up to 1 lakh for one small little piece. I said, okay, I'll never buy a pearl. So there are many imitations, but one real thing. That is found only we have the patience and perseverance to find. It is not something which we do it in a day, or it is not a 2 weeks course in Nirvana or a crash course in finding the psychic being, or a course where you pay $1,000, sign up, and you suddenly after 5 days say, ah, I found my psychic being. If we are finding all that, then there is an illusion. You should be careful. It's a persistent. Like we are going to discover. Mother says you should be armed with the patience as in the discovery of new continents. See how somebody started to discover India, ended up with America. He died believing it's America. Then Indians came all the way from India to settle in America and said, we are the Indians, look here. The original fellows. Thus America discovered India. Or Indians discovered America. That's how in yoga. When we discover, we walk, sometimes we are exhausted. Exhausting journey, no? Taking all the way from Portugal to of tiring, harrowing, all kinds of illness. And the bloodshed and all this, 4th of July finally. But then, because the aspiration was to discover India. So aspiration is fulfilled. After some time, when the divine sees I cannot, he's done his utmost effort, so he comes and holds the hand. So Indians came all the way and flooded America. Then there is a nice meeting ground. Now, these are very beautiful symbolic stories, and I'm not joking about it. There is, you know, every aspiration gets fulfilled in some point of time. So one should search with this idea that today or tomorrow, I am on this path and I'll discover it. Why? Because just as I am seeking the divine is seeking me. That's how Shobindu puts it. He who chooses the infinite has been chosen by the infinite. I cannot seek him unless he is seeking me, because he also loves. Why doesn't he immediately disclose? Because we'll faint. That's all that will happen. And when we come out, we'll say, ah, I had a trance. What did you experience in the trance? I don't know, but it was blissful. That's not what he wants. He wants us to become instruments for manifestation. That's why the long journey, the preparation, the challenges, the difficulties, the struggle. At the end of it, we discover all struggle was its easy price. Even if we were to give everything, once we discover, you see, there's a great joy in that. And that's how it is. It can be sometimes so exacting. I've often spoken of this story of the mystic who gave away everything just to know where is the my guru whom I am going to meet dwells. And when he meets his guru, the guru says, So, was it very difficult coming here? He says, it was very easy. I had to only pay up some material price, and that material price was exorbitant. All his, you know, wealth, money, everything. He said, it was very easy. That's the spirit, attitude, firmness with which one seeks the goal. Upanishad describe it like an arrow which is shot into the mark. And what happens? There is a quivering all around, but the arrowhead is inside. So also nature will quiver. It will react in certain ways, come and go. But deep inside should be ma, ma, ma. Shurabindo, Shurabindo, Shurabindo. And then if we persist, then one day the doors of immortality open. And when we are face to face with that, then nature spontaneously starts undergoing the change. It knows that this ego fellow was not the real king. Here comes the real king or the queen or the princess, and now I have hope. That's why nature begins to change. So first step to psychic discovery. As I said, this world will teach us a lot of qualities will automatically develop if we have the right attitude, and the right attitude will automatically develop if the goal is clear. Equanimity, how does it develop to somebody who is seeking? Very simple. You are going from here, let's say, to place Y, and you are clear that you got to reach there and you got to reach in time. Will you get stopped on the way and get engaged into an argument and discussion about the right and the left? Because you know that you have to reach there. If somebody insults you, will you start rolling your sleeves and proving your point? No, because you know you got to reach there. All else is secondary. If somebody invites you home that come, I have such wonderful thing, will you stop there? No, because you have to. So all praise, insults, all this become a feeder. You don't care because the goal is always in front. That's how it is described in the Upanishads. So we should seek with that kind of ardor the psychic discovery, because we value it. It's priceless. If you don't have that kind of spirit within, then become difficult. So equanimity develops when we are seeking the divine automatically, because you are not interested in anything else. Your interest in things is only because they are instruments of the divine manifestation. One day they should manifest the divine. But first we must be ready for that. And then comes next. So everything that the best attitudes that we see, many things are spontaneously left behind. We don't have to struggle simply because that discovery is so important. And when you taste it, when you have tasted the original rasagulla, as they call in Bengal, rasagulla, then many sweets just drop off because you are constantly after that rasagulla. So this is the great discovery, psychic discovery. Swiftest way, Shurbindo's words. By bhakti, devotion, surrender, faith. Shurbindo's words. Why? Because we begin to grow in the likeness of that which we love. Automatically. That's why one should be so careful about the company one keeps, because we begin to grow in the likeness of someone whom we love. And again, when we give ourselves to the divine, actually he is the one who has given himself first, but it takes very long to understand this. When we give ourselves to the divine, then he does the hand holding. Before that, he is pushing us from behind through the veils of the ego. This freedom in creation is important because that's how it will be a genuine discovery. So he pushes us through events, circumstances, till there comes a point when we surrender. So faith, surrender, bhakti, devotion, love, self-giving are the key words to discover the psychic being. And it can only happen if we understand its value. If we don't understand its value, then no amount of technique. We may sit for hours in meditative posture, lotus posture or any posture, but it's only a posture. And the divine, you know, comes and wakes up someone. Just one small little story, and with which I'll close this. So there, the Sri Aurobindo recounts of this story. Because some people think, oh, it's so long, my God, so difficult. Might as well enjoy life, we'll see it later. So this is the story of these two people who are doing tapasya for the divine. Story told by Sri Ramakrishna, endorsed by Sri Aurobindo. It's there in his letters. So it has the stamp of two greatest of the greatest. Great. So both are doing tapasya, and one day Narad Rishi is passing by. He says, I am going to the Lord. Hurry. Anything you want me to ask? I am a to and fro messenger. SMS service. So they say, we want to know when we'll meet the Lord. Okay. Goes. Comes back. And this tapasvi who is doing all tapasya, you know. Yes, sir. What did the Lord say? He said, 3 lives more, and then you will meet the Lord. What? 3 more lives? Oh my God. Okay, I'll see it now next time. I might as well go back. Now this life I've done enough tapasya. Let me just do a little bit of enjoyment. After 3 lives it will happen. And then the bhakta. This is the tapasvi and then the bhakta. He asks the bhakta, says, what did the Lord say? He said, you know, you see how many leaves are there on this tree? He says, many, can't count. After these many lives, you will meet the Lord. He started dancing. My Lord said he will meet me. That's enough for me. He was full of joy. Full of joy. He will meet me. So true. He is full of joy. And Hari appears instantly before him. So it's not, the fruit of the sadhana is not on the measure of our effort, but on the sincerity of the aspiration that is behind it. One day, when the aspiration becomes very intense, that's the time when the chick comes out of the egg. And all the practices of yoga, almost all, are to intensify this aspiration. As I said, what books we read, detachment, turning to the divine satsang, all of this is essentially to make this fire mount higher and higher till one day it cannot be contained within the shell. The estrus has formed the chick ready to fly, or the swan, and the mother swan pecks and into the blue of the sky and the vastness and the freedom and the delight we go. Okay, so I'm not touching on spiritual and supramental transformation. That's out of subject right now. But I wish sometime we may have for questions, and then we could probably take up some questions. But for now, thank you so much, Chema.